Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Tuesday, January the 16th, 2024, and great to have you on. Day after Martin Luther King Jr. observance yesterday. So it's kind of a short week, longer weekend, shorter week. So it's a Tuesday, kind of feels like a Monday. But hope you've had a good weekend, and looking forward to this week. And we were just chatting on YouTube to the YouTube folks about just the playoff. We're in the middle of playoff season. Tampa Bay won last night, which was a big win. The Bills won. Who else won? Detroit won. Yeah. So, So the next round of the playoff bracket is set. Well, today we are in the second week of Epiphany. So the way the church calendar goes is after Epiphany, start counting weeks from Epiphany. And then until you start getting close to Lent. So until you get to Ash Wednesday, and then it switched just to the season, the weeks of Lent leading up to Easter. So we are in the second week after Epiphany, or the second week of Epiphany. Epiphany, remember, is January 6th. So, yeah, so we are in the second week. And so our readings for today, we're doing this reading plan that kind of takes us throughout the entire Bible in a couple of years. And so this is the reading for today is Genesis chapter 9, Hebrews 5, and John chapter 3. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. So glad to have everybody on. You're listening throughout the day or evening, welcome. Glad, great to have you on. All right, let's do it, y'all. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. You know what we do. We read, we pray, we change the world. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." That's very similar to the command God gave Adam and Eve, right? Be fruitful and multiply. Verse 2, "The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds of the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground, and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you green plants, I now give you everything." That's interesting. There are people that talk about the biblical diet is a vegan diet. Well, clearly not. Right there, it just basically said it gives you everything for food to eat. Just like I gave you green plants, now I give you everything that moves and lives. Kill and eat. Now, it may raise your cholesterol. but you can eat it. Verse 4, "But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each human being too. I will demand an accounting of the life of another human being. So already God is instilling the value of human life right here, right? Whoever sheds human blood, by human shall their blood be shed. Here you go. For in the image of God has God made humankind. Most of our bedrock theological tenets are revealed in Genesis. You know, the creation, the creator, the value of humanity, the sinfulness of humanity. So many really, really important biblical concepts we get from the very first book of the Bible. Verse 7, as for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, livestock, all the wild animals, and those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I will establish my covenant with you. So now God is establishing a covenant with Noah. This is a sign. Back up. I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. So God's promise to never again destroy the entire earth by flood. Verse 12, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. The rainbow. The rainbow is a sign of God's covenant. Renewed covenant with Noah, that he would never destroy the earth that way again. And so verse 14, whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So that's what the rainbow represents, guys, biblically. It's no wonder that that image has been used for purposes that are outside what God intended. Not, you know, if you were the enemy, wouldn't you want to take an emblem or a symbol that is in God's word and make it mean something radically different than what God intended it to mean? Pretty good plan. But the red rainbow really represents God's covenant. That's human nature, is to try to change terms and definitions and meanings and symbols into their own image. Verse 17, so God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. All right, let's jump over to, where are we? Hebrews chapter 5. Welcome, everybody. Great to have you guys on. Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 14. And let's try to see what the theme is. Hebrews 5, 7 through 14. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who believe in him, or all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Remember, we talked about Melchizedek as this priest in the book of Genesis, in the story of Abraham, just kind of appears out of nowhere. He's representative of the eternal line of priests. He's this Christ-like figure that just appears on the pages of the Bible, and Abraham gives offerings to him. So he's a representative of the eternal priesthood. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk or a protein shake. It's different. Feeling convicted now. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I mean, that is the that's the work of spiritual maturity, right? To become more aware of good and evil. You know, sometimes, you know, we use this phrase that, you know, it's not our place to judge. And that's true, but I think we sometimes miss that there are two aspects of judging. There is to stand in the place of eternal judgment, to determine whether someone's eternal destiny is heaven or hell. That's not for us to decide. That's not for us to, we don't stand in the place of that decision. We don't have a heaven to offer, and we don't have a hell to threaten with. It's not ours. God is in control of that. But that does not mean that we cannot judge fruit. The Bible is very clear that we can judge right from wrong. We can judge fruit. We can judge a tree by its fruit. And if somebody is clearly acting in opposition to the principles and teachings of God's word, I can judge that. I can see that. I can discern that. It's not my place to say you're going to hell. That's God's prerogative. It's probably not a bad idea to warn if you continue that behavior. It may not be good, but I can't finally send someone to heaven or hell or declare someone's lost or found, but I can discern fruit. That's what mature spiritual life is about. Training themselves in distinguishing good and evil on the basis of what? The word of God. Not the basis of my opinion, not the basis of what I like or don't like, but on the basis of the word of God, training in righteousness. And so that's why we do what we do, right? That's why we spend time in the word of God every day, is so that we can train ourselves in righteousness, so we can just as much correct our own faulty ideas about what is right and wrong, because that happens, right? We can have a perspective that something is wrong or something is right. And the more we read the word, we're like, you know what? That was just my own bias. There's not, God doesn't necessarily condemn or condone that. It's my own perspective. So by reading and submitting to the word of God and learning from the word of God, I'm training myself in righteousness to discern good and evil, not only for myself, but to see it out in the world. So do we judge? Yes and no. We don't judge someone's eternal destiny or eternal, where they're going to be for all eternity, but we can judge their fruit. Yeah. You know a rascal when you see one. You know a liar when you see one. You know an arrogant person when you see one. You know kindness when you see it. You know love and grace and peace and mercy when you see it. You know genuineness when you see it. And biblical truth when you hear it. How? Through training ourselves in righteousness. Yeah. Through hearing and learning the word of God. And so that's our challenge, right? We need to get to the place where we're not rehearsing the elementary teachings of the word over and over and over. That's what the writer of Hebrews is, sort of challenging that community, is like, you guys should be beyond this. We're kind of going back and rehearsing just the basics of the faith over and over and over again, when you should have been beyond just the milk of the spiritual life and be on to some meat. There's a theme. First, we talk about themes in these different readings. You know, there's physical meat that you can eat, and the spiritual meat of the spiritual life. All right, let's read over in John chapter 3. We know this verse, man. This is a popular one. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are on. Yeah, if you see a theme in these readings, by all means, drop it in the chat. We'd like to see what you see. John chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. Let's see what the Lord has to say. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Well, I mean, there's something here about God not desiring that people perish. I mean, you saw that from the covenant with Noah, right? It was a promise that God would never destroy the earth that way again. It was his covenant of love. The rainbow was a covenant, was a reminder of God's covenant with really all the inhabitants of earth, that he would not destroy the earth that way again by water. And so God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God desires that we have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's the great false message that is sent about Jesus and about the gospel, like that Jesus was sent to condemn the world. Jesus was not sent to condemn the world. Jesus came to give the world life. It's like the image of, someone out drowning in the ocean. Jesus isn't sent to say, hey, you're drowning. He came to save the people who are drowning. He didn't come to just state the obvious. He came to save. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He's not the bullhorn saying, you're drowning, you're dying. He's the life preserver saying, cling to me and I will save you. Of course, the challenge is for people to actually see that they need him, right? That's the tragedy. A lot of people are drowning and they refuse to acknowledge their situation, their predicament. But Jesus didn't come to just tell people that they're drowning, that they need him. He came to save them. But you got to realize you're sick, right? That's Jesus's teaching about that, right? I didn't come to heal the well. I came to heal the sick. What does that mean? The people that recognize that they need him. Man, we need him, don't we? Yes, we need Jesus. And so as his people, we go into the world not to condemn the world, but we go into the world to offer the world what we have found in Jesus, salvation. We don't go into our neighborhoods and to our workplaces telling people that they're drowning, that they're dead, that they're sinners. Oh, man, we go and say, I want to encourage you to give Jesus a try. I want to encourage you to consider Jesus. Because he didn't come to tell you how terrible you were. He came to offer you some help. Real, lasting help. Because the truth is, down deep, many of us know. If you're drowning, you know it. Huh? You're drowning, you know it. You know, when you're in trouble, you know it. And just coming to that reality, like, Lord, I need your help. That's what God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18. Whoever believes in him, that is Jesus, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. His one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So there is this theme in all three of these about good and evil, about this theme of discernment. And here, John's gospel is showing us that a lot of the times the reason people do not cling to Jesus or reach out to Jesus is because their deeds are evil. That clinging to Jesus might require transformation. Insider note, it will require transformation. But the good news is you don't have to transforming. It is the power of the Holy Spirit in us that transforms us. You just cling to Jesus. And as we cling to Jesus, he transforms us day by day from the inside out. He grows us into spiritual maturity as we submit and learn and spend time in his word and with his people and in worship and fellowship and prayer with him. We see our lives begin to change. But some people love sin more than they love God, right? And I think we all do. That's where we start. Every human being starts loving sin more than loving God. That's the human condition. And there's a until we realize that sin that we love won't sustain us, will not save us. Takes us farther than we want to go, makes us stay longer than we want to stay, and makes us pay a higher price than we want to pay. And then we realize, this isn't working. I'm drowning. And when that happens, that's a miracle. For some people, that's a miracle. You know, you ever notice when people come to Christ, like a lot of times, there's tears. People cry. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, you will cry when you meet Jesus. But there's something emotionally that happens. Because what? It's the relief of finding out that there's something that will save me. When that life preserver comes, that is Jesus. When he saves us from this world of sin, when he saves us from the lies and deceptions of the world that seem to be so permanent so all-encompassing, so powerful, and we were so powerless to fight, and we discover Jesus, who graciously and freely saves us, it's overwhelming. It causes an emotional response, an overwhelming emotional response of relief, of gratitude, thankfulness, and safety. Safety. Thank you. Yeah. Verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that when they have done, that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Read that one again. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Wow. Walking in the light as he is in the light. And the more we walk with him, the more we want to walk in the light. And the more we want our deeds to be seen, because our deeds are consistent with his nature, and his purposes are consistent with good as defined rightly by the Bible. All right, you guys, thanks so much for being on. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for the promise of salvation and the promise of the good news and the reminder that you came not to condemn the world, but to save the world, that you didn't come to condemn us, and neither should we be about condemning people, but offering people you, offering people the good news in your name. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to be those who offer to those who are drowning salvation, peace, grace, forgiveness, new life. Lord, thank you for my friends today and the privilege that we have to share together and learn together, study together. May you bless each and every one of them today, encourage and strengthen them. Those that need a special measure of your grace and healing today, may you pour it out in abundance over their lives today. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Love you guys so much. Thanks for spending time this morning in the Word. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Thank you for liking, subscribing, and sharing to this. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. That way you'll get notifications every time we go live. And so, So hit that like button before you leave. Just smash that like button before you leave. And again, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel. And, you'll be notified every time we go live. Thank you guys so much for spending time with us today. You have a great day. We'll be back at it tomorrow. See you then. Until next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.